Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we talk Premier League, as we often do, with Danny Kelly, game by game, and FA Cup after a brilliant weekend. Did. So we'll bring you all of that. Plus, we spoke to Omid Jalili, comedian and occasional footballer, as he was telling us, and Chelsea and Ipswich fan these days. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did.
Covered some ground there. So... that'll do you. Here it all is. Afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And we should celebrate today. It's the first day of the new turf flat season in Ireland. I don't know if the old season ended Saturday, probably.
Yeah, it probably did. They have a massive turnaround, don't they? Jump season ends about 3:15, and then the flat season starts at about 10:50. I don't know if jockeys don't clear off to Dubai or whatever.
No,
go and have a bit of a
true.
Month's break.
We're going to talk a lot about the games. I mean, I was at Chelsea yesterday. And,
yes.
Look, I mean, no one likes to see a player being booed. You know, that's not
it's
a great thing.
It's just counterproductive, especially when the game's still on.
If ever a player ever deserved it, honestly, I'd say Raheem Sterling deserved it. Yesterday was ridiculous. Taking that penalty was just ludicrous. It was so annoying. It was so predictable. When he grabbed the ball, I went, oh, no. Don't do that. He tried to do it about 3 weeks ago off Palmer. He tried to take the ball off him.
Right.
It's like a lack of self-awareness. And I suppose to be a great player, you've got to be selfish. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
confident, you know, I suppose, is another
his
way
record
from
penalties is not great. And the other boy has got a great record from penalties. The team comes before you. It's not about you. And especially at 1-0. If it was 4-0 up, I'd say, okay, fine. But at 1-0 in a tight game, it was a poor decision by him. Then he compounds it with an easy one-on-one that he missed. And then the free kick was just laughable.
But Eddie does. I mean, I've been there. I'm not getting on my high horse because we had this.
But he's a senior player. He's not a young player. I agree. Well, booing a young player can destroy a young player. But he's strong, Sterling. He knows about how it works.
But is it ever going to help when you've got one of your own players on the pitch and you're booing
him? It's not going to help. But on the other hand, it doesn't do any harm to remind a player that his responsibility to the team. The one he did against Wolves was one of the worst things I've seen when he tried to score. He could have just squared it to Palmer, goal guaranteed. You know, and that is frustrating. And I don't understand the manager in that. I would have taken him off. And then to take Mudrick off first.
Well, he said he was struggling.
Fine. Or take them both off at the same time then.
Yeah.
You know, you're asking for trouble. And then also picking, I don't understand managers who pick the second keeper for vital games in tournaments. Chelsea's only chance of anything this season is the FA Cup. It's not that likely, but it's the only chance they've got. Why play Sanchez, who's definitely inferior to Petrovic? We saw his problems. He's ponderous on the ball. His distribution's awful. You know, what's the point? It's your job on the line, mate. I don't get it. It's a sort of misplaced sort of loyalty to the second keeper. It's sort of laudable, but wrong, in my view.
They had a team bonding barbecue. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Didn't they? I mean, it seems to have worked. They all went round Poch's house. I don't know if he was living quite near Spurs. That was a bit of a schlep. Has he moved near Chelsea?
Was it at the training ground? I've got to think.
Oh, did they do it at the training ground where they laid on a big barbecue?
Yeah.
Apparently it poured with rain, but that didn't stop them.
Anyway, that game is absolutely where Chelsea are at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, Miguel Delaney of The Independent, he said they spent £1 billion to turn Chelsea back to the team they were in the 90s. They got a very good cup team.
Yeah.
There's a kind of point to that. And,
well, look, you know
they're very inconsistent. They were brilliant in the first half. They played some lovely football.
Yeah.
And the third goal was a beauty. So was the fourth goal. But they're so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Some parts of the game they're good. And as soon as they concede, they're so weak. They're so panicky, you know.
Well, at the barbecue with all the players, there were two club nutritionists to control what they ate. I always love that at a barbecue, do you?
I try.
It's always great
to
kind of cut loose and go out for an evening and have two people looking at everything you put on your plate and then pushing it back off. Just one sausage, Mikhailo, just one sausage, and just hoiking it back into the pot, giving it to the dog. I bet it would have been great, wouldn't it? If you were Maurizio Pochettino's dog or dogs, you would have just sat there at the end, where every time a little sausage, you know, it's too much there, you got too much pasta. The old dogs would have been great, wouldn't it? Also, look out after, maybe after a defeat or a victory, if you live in the area of Stamford Bridge, look out for a man in a baseball cap, quite a big, thick-set fella, with an Argentinian accent. Because after the Brentford defeat, he went for a little walk round the King's Road, puts a little cap on, and as a walk round the streets, clear his head.
Oh, Poch.
Yeah. So do look out for Poch. You may. I wonder, it could be like one of those things. I found Poch and I'm claiming £5. Could be a little club.
Personally, I'm for him.
Well, you should be.
Yeah, you know, I think he's... You know, when people forget, they're so short. Memories are so short. Chelsea won 2 out of 21 league games at home before Poch came.
Yeah.
You know, now they've at least Stamford Bridge is a... No, it's not a fortress, but they do... They've won more games than they've lost there this season. And that, when you've got a season ticket, means something. And that's an improvement, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to draw a veil over our fixture until I speak to Danny.
What happened.
Dear me. Anyway, let's set the agenda. It's something we'd like to hear from you on this afternoon. Old mate Danny Cowley's been in a couple of times to see us in the studio. And the EFL gave Colchester United permission to shrink their JobServe community stadium pitch because they've had a load of drainage issues.
Jobsworth.
Not the Jobsworth community stadium. Imagine
they
going
don't allow
there.
Anybody
they
in.
Well, I'm afraid that ticket isn't completely right. Our attendance today was 15 people, thanks to the steward.
5,000 turned away.
You can't sit there, mate. You're in full view of the pitch. I'm afraid, with the Jobsworth stadium. Hey, what else are we going at the Jobsworth stadium? We'd love to.
That's a good idea.
So they've narrowed the pitch, or they've made because they had all these drainage issues. Didn't do them any favours. They got beat, I think, because they play Warsaw and they're very good at set pieces. They said the narrower the pitch, the more chance of scoring from set pieces, says Danny. But it was the right thing to do, he said. So it struck me that sometimes you go and play sport, whether it's football or cricket or whatever, rugby union, you name it. It could even be an indoor sport. And people have taken liberties with the playing area, the size of it. We used to play in primary school. We played, I can't remember what school it was, but we used to play a team that had very limited fields, you know, it was sort of in a London type school. They didn't have a lot of room, but they wanted to put a pitch on it for games. It was like playing in a corridor. You play 11 a side on this tiny little pitch.
There was no width.
There was no point playing wingers. Everybody was just bunched in. But now and again, you turn up and you think, hang on. And then one of the lads starts marking out the yards, walking across the pitch and realising it's about 20 yards too small. All the goals, all the goal areas are too small. So let's relive some of the, not so much the bad surfaces, but the smaller pitches, the odd-shaped pitches you've encountered over the years in whatever sport. And in cricket, of course, it has a knock-on effect. You've got little short boundaries. There's no point, is there?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Is that a little bit weary?
I'm exhausted. I stayed up all night to watch the Russian election results.
Oh, did you? Really?
It was going to be a real thriller.
Yeah, I tuned in at one point. It looked like... Was the swingometer broken?
I think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't... Anyway. But a satire there. Joining us now to reflect on the weekend's football, Danny Kelly. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hello, chaps. Yeah, the Russian election was like one of those boat races where Oxford sink, isn't it? and the other...
Yeah, the jeopardy. where to start but Manchester United 4, Liverpool 3. An absolutely nuts game of football.
I can play... The compliment I'll pay that match, Paul, was after the end of Wolves 2, Coventry 3, I said to the good lady wife, I said to her, I won't see a better game of football this season.
Yeah.
And of course, I saw one within 24 hours. And in some ways, it was better because it was madder. You're absolutely right to point that out. And I'm sure, Andy, you may already have said this before I came on air, but compare and contrast Manchester United's madcap effort in extra time to Chelsea's in the League Cup final. And it just shows what you can do if you decide you're going to go for something.
Yeah.
And neither side deserved to lose. Therefore, by definition, neither side deserved to win. But what a brilliant, brilliant piece of theatre. The whole thing from start to finish. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great game. And fair play to United because they weren't really the better side, but they were clinical. Yeah. And they don't give up. They do score a lot of late goals. But they're still stodgy as a team. I don't care what
Ten Hag absolutely.
Says. You know, oh, this is no, the start Andy, of something. You think, is it?
It's not. I think we're in the stages now that we all recognise from about three quarters of the way through Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign at Manchester United, where they could dig out really good results, sometimes not as madcap as that one, but sometimes really good results. But we all know the direction of travel is they just are not a team with any pattern, and he's had almost 2 years to put a pattern in there now, and I don't think it's going to work for him. But having said that, the current trend, John Stones said, of having a ball playing centre half, when you've got Bruno playing centre half for the last 15 minutes there, just brilliant, wasn't it? Just,
yeah, well, he's a bit lucky to still be on the pitch, really. But
we've talked already after games about could this be the turning point for Erik ten Hag, and then they go and have a couple of duff performances, and we forget we said it. But we all know the history of the club and how things in the FA Cup, especially with Mark Robbins being in the news this week, and FA Cup. You know, our games sometimes can turn moments. I mean, it's so difficult to say, isn't it? As you say, Andy, they are still a touch unconvincing.
You know, Coventry are great, but you'd have to think United are favourites to get to the final. So, you know.
Yes.
And it depends who they play. I mean, if they play City, then, you know, they're less likely to win it. But if Chelsea were to get through, they match up quite well with Chelsea. So, you know, they could win the cup. So, McTominay's had a very good season, which is amazing, really, isn't it? And they nearly sold him to West Ham. Oh, he has. He's been.
Again, you do not. Obviously, if you've got some financial reason for doing it, my advice to most of these managers, and particularly club owners, if you have players who are Premier League tempered, they're absolutely proven at Premier League level, don't sell them unless you absolutely have to. McTominay has improved leaps and bounds in both the last two seasons, and you know, given that he's not a child anymore, that's a great credit to him, you know.
I agree.
He's had all those goals this season.
Yeah, he really does.
Jurgen Klopp getting some stick today for being a bit prickly with a journalist that's gone viral. But, I mean, the question, why do you think your intensity wasn't great in extra time when you've been playing in four competitions? I can understand you'd think, you've just answered your own question.
They still were winning in extra time. They were still winning.
Yeah.
In the game, I mean, they were ahead twice in the match.
He felt they did start to look a bit leggy.
We listen to Talk Sport, or we watch RTE in my case, BBC, ITV in your case, Sky, whatever. So we see or hear two interviews. They're often into their 15th or 16th interview before they crack these managers. Now, but that shouldn't hide the fact Jurgen is a terrible loser.
Oh, yeah.
A proper terrible loser.
Unfortunately, most of the most successful managers have been. Haven't they?
Yeah, well, because they would say it's a lack of practice, wouldn't they? He shouldn't have said to the guy, "You don't look at such great nick yourself," you know.
Yeah. Don't need to get personal.
That's true.
Well, let's move on then.
So I speak from inside that greenhouse.
Let's move on to Chelsea 4, Leicester 2. Andy's done a little bit on this already. I'm talking from an outsider's point of view. Just that feeling that, I mean, we remember the period when Ramon Vega was Tottenham's whipping boy and was booed by his own players. I remember Sol Campbell like reacting, shrugging his shoulders, looking at the crowd saying, "Do you think this is helping?" I take Andy's point. Sometimes you just want to tell a player, especially a senior player, you think with broad shoulders, how you're feeling. But during a game, it's never going to work. It's never going to make that player play better.
Well, first of all, let me say something trite about this game. I can't entirely comment on it, Andy, because although I watched it, I couldn't entirely see it because both sides were wearing the same kit. Very, very difficult game to analyse. It was 22 against the referee. The laws are very clear on this. And I don't come to me as an authority on the laws of football, but this run I am absolutely clear on. The laws say that the two kits must clearly differentiate the teams from one from the other and from the match officials, by the way. But anyway, look, they decide to do that. If you compare that to what happened Friday night in the women's game, yeah. where, you know, the referee said, hang on, your socks are the same. I can't go, this one, no, carry on.
They were all wearing black. All wear blue. I didn't have a problem. Are you colourblind? I don't mean to be facetious.
I'm about 10% colourblind, yeah.
I mean, then I know Richard Keys is always very hot on this, and people who are do suffer from it, but...
It's not difficult to make a massive differential between
blue,
kits,
blue
though,
and
is it?
White. Black and...
I think often
socks.
It's a commercial. Which one should we have? The third kit sticking around in the club shop. Yeah. Let's stick the third kit on. It was a bit like their first kit.
Suppose,
don't worry about it.
I hear what you're saying, Eddie. And if I had a choice between a kit clash and Spurs wearing their mud-coloured kit, I'd definitely go for the kit clash, to be truthful. Look, Andy, am I right? It's my memory playing tricks with me. Earlier in the season, Raheem Sterling in several games was Chelsea's best player, is my recollection.
He started the season very well, he did, that's for sure. Yeah. And look, he's, you know, he is what he is. He's a great player. You know, and I've said it before, you have to sometimes be selfish to be a great player. And he was selfish yesterday and it didn't pay off. And so the crowd let him know. It's interesting, I haven't talked about Leicester. And I was speaking to Jeff Peters after the game. And one thing is really clear, they're going to need defensive reinforcements if they come up.
Yeah,
those two at the back. Would struggle in the Premier League, in my view. Chelsea created, it could have been six yesterday.
I thought Chelsea, you know, the flip side of getting pinned back to 2-2 is that at 2-2, with the crowd anxious, showed a lot of character to come back and win it.
Yeah, they did. Palmer's great, isn't he? What a season he's having.
Yeah, and,
they've got a lot of good young players. We all know that. That game is where they're at. Brilliant in parts, terrible in other parts.
Danny Kelly is with us. We're going to move on to Wolves 2, Coventry 3 very shortly. Another brilliant game, as Danny said. You know, it was like, you won't see a better game this weekend. Hold my beer, said Manchester United and Liverpool.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It was a weekend of some quite spectacular misses. Danny, wasn't it? A number of games. The Marcus Rashford one at the end of the game, yesterday. Johnson and Werner for Spurs.
You're all thinking about Ellis Sims now, are you?
Dandro for Fofana. Yeah,
oh, and that was a brilliant one. My notes make no sense, though, because I only watched up to 2-1 Wolves.
Oh, so you gave up?
Honestly, and the producer, we both did the same thing. I just thought, I was sort of annoyed. I thought Coventry deserved it. And then when Wolves got back in the game, I thought, well, it'd go to extra time. And then when they scored that second guy, I thought, oh, that's it. That's the game over.
The magic of the FA Cup
couldn't
had gone, dissipated.
I looked at my phone, unbelievable.
And no disrespect to the TV commentators, I watched it on TV. Who've got difficult jobs to do, but of course they were following the subconscious bias that once the Premier League team gets ahead, we all go and make the cup of tea, don't we?
Yeah.
But because the game was such fun, I did sit there to see the denouement. Partly, Paul, and I hope you all share this with me, after the 1987 cup final between Coventry and Spurs, I've never wished Coventry a day's luck in their life. but I thought they'd played so well, I've kind of forgiven them. And so I thought I'd watched right to the end. And what Mark Robbins has been doing there is nothing short of amazing. If you think that they had all these seasons of uncertainty playing in people's backyards and on public parks and all the rest of it. Last season, they get the heartbreak of losing the playoff final and they sell their two best players, Hamer and Goycalves, who incidentally is on fire in Spain and will be coming back to a Premier League club very near you very, very soon, and Coventry will make money out of that as well. For them to still be, A, up and around the playoff places in the Championship and now into a semi-final at Wembley, it's nothing short of amazing. Of course, like, I too thought, that's it, Wolves have done this now. You know, a bit spawny, but there they are, classes are out in the end. No. They not only did they come back and get the equaliser, but to get the winner as well. Fantastic.
What was the worst miss out of those? If you had miss of the day, I mean, I wonder what it would be. I think Werner's, mate. I mean, because Ellis Sims just doesn't open his body up.
Dandro Fofana's was ridiculous.
That was the worst. Yeah. Werner's, he doesn't make any contact at all, so that's like a dream or something.
That's just Timo Werner. That's what he does. I can't see you making that move permanent. We'll talk about that.
We'll maybe chat about
Oh no, we're gonna filibuster this like those MPs talking about their pet's name. We'll never get round to any games in West London.
Yeah. What about the business with Robbins at the end with the ball
Mark
boy?
Robbins and the ball boy? That one.
I didn't see
story.
Either incident, but it sounds to me like, you know, the ball boy. All right. Yeah.
I mean, I think Mark
he's not
Robbins.
Four. He's but, 13. Yeah, but Mark. He goaded Robbins. He sort of. Yep. You know,
one's a kid though doing a kid thing, and the other one's an adult doing a kid thing. And he was the first to admit.
He was the first to apologise, but you can understand why he did it.
Well, yeah,
But then, okay. then Gary shouldn't have made such a big thing.
No,
of it,
okay.
either,
it wasn't
you know.
That. It wasn't no. that big a deal, was it? Really?
There was the Mountain Molehill Construction Company was very much a work there, weren't they?
Very much.
And it was fitting that Hadji Wright's goal was so good. It was such a lovely goal to win it. So yeah. that was cracking.
I mean, ball boys, they've got to be careful. Am I accusing the wrong person? Eden Hazard, Andy.
Yeah.
Who actually went in on one of them, yeah. you know, to get
now,
the ball.
He's become
yeah.
very, very. We've talked about him before. Mm. He's become very successful.
The ball boy in question is now a multi-millionaire, yeah. made a fortune in the vodka industry. So,
well, good for him. So he recovered yeah. from the near-death experience
it's
at the hands
you
of.
Think
the...
that they've got carte blanche to wind. They shouldn't be doing that. It's, yeah. All right, he's 13, but he still shouldn't be doing that, winding the opposition manager up. Yeah. So, I don't think he can really complain.
I guess, Andy, that they get the idea, the temerity, the permission to behave a little bit weirdly sometimes, but what's obvious to anybody with an eye on their head, that the yeah. home ball boy team, when your team are winning, they're holding the ball back from the opposition.
Yeah.
So that can't be something they've all decided to do among themselves. They must be told to do that. And so a tone is set. They should be completely neutral, but they're not, are they?
There was a game this weekend, I can't remember which one it was, the ball boy moved so quickly to get the ball back into play and the team yeah. scored. It might have been in League One. I can't remember the game, the listeners will remember. And the players all came together and said, were singing, sign him up to the ball boy.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's definitely a thing with the home teams, yeah, making sure yeah. the ball boys and ball girls are in on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll move on to a game that we didn't have high expectations for. I mean, obviously, the amount of Newcastle fans that travelled to the Etihad.
God bless them.
Yeah, and indeed. In the face of all the evidence to the contrary. And they were making a load of noise, but this was such a routine. It felt such a routine win and a routine game for City, didn't it? Before it even kicked off.
This is one where I would have prayed for a kick clash so I wouldn't have to see how dominant one side was over the other, because that's not an advert for professional football at the very highest level in England, is it? Newcastle, I mean, it wasn't like they were beaten 7-0 or anything like that, but you know that City could have beaten them 7-0 on the day, the way it went.
Mm.
Some of this, of course, is nothing to do with Newcastle. City at home are a preposterously yeah. difficult team to play against. But you're right, Paul, you could have set your watch by that result. 2-0, yeah. 3 if they feel like it. You know?
Yeah, you have to fear for Eddie Howe a bit. I mean, he's done a great job there, but, you know, I think the fans are getting impatient, the ownership. It's difficult. They can't spend the money they've got. I shouldn't feel for them, but I do feel for them in a certain sense yeah. because they're hamstrung by the rules and, you know, I don't agree yeah. with the rules, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things here, isn't there? The owners will probably not like to see a regression, which is what they're seeing from last season.
Mm.
And Eddie's also unlucky in that for a variety of reasons, and we were talking about this last night on Trans-Europe Express, there are so many famous and still very, very good managers on the market currently
yeah.
who are just sitting there twiddling their thumbs waiting for the... Twiddling their thumbs, that would be achievement.
Twiddling their yeah. thumbs, that's quite
yeah.
right.
No, yeah, that's lovely. I'm twiddling yes. my thumb. Yeah. waiting for the phone to ring. Yeah. I don't want to see him lose his job. No. I think he's a really good manager. What they did last year was remarkable, but I too have a 70% fear for him. I'm
yeah,
afraid.
When they lost out in Europe, that terrible decision late, then that seems to have been a downward thing, yeah.
Well, so we can't put it off any longer, Danny, I'm afraid. Fulham 3, Tottenham Hotspur 0.
John Norman enjoyed it.
I'm sure he did, yeah. I mean, Fulham were great. Let's start off by praising Fulham, who were fantastic. Yeah. Anthony Robinson, and honestly, if Muniz hadn't scored the goals, he would have been man of the match. He was fantastic, and they did play really well, and they've proved at home they're a very good side, but Tottenham were... I mean, they were garbage. I mean, really,
they really were, Paul. Yeah. And
all over the pitch.
I've spent the morning on another medium trying to work it out. How you can be? I mean, let's be. You know, they chanced it in the first half at Aston Villa, and then played brilliantly in the second half.
Hmm.
How can that team go to the other team we saw at Craven Cottage? Now, first of all, very quickly, you have to give massive credit here to Fulham. You've already said their players played well, but more importantly, I think Silva's a really good coach.
Mm.
And it was absolutely clear. Spurs, if they lose the ball in midfield or if they're not 100% at it, they have huge gaps in their team, right? Yeah. And not once. I watched the game back to make sure I wasn't imagining.
Wow, they deserve a gold star for that.
Not once did Fulham get the ball where they didn't put either the ball or a player or both into the spots where Spurs wanted it least.
Yeah.
Marcus Silva told some of them, you're going to waste your energy running to that spot, but it will stress their defenders when you're behind them. And sometimes they put the ball in there without a player to match it, just to keep Spurs on their heels. But you tell me, Paul. I'll be you for a second. I won't be as good as you, but I'll, you know what I mean. What was wrong with Spurs? I mean, from Son, that most happy and enthusiastic of footballers, comes out afterwards and said we were rubbish, including me.
Yeah, the sloppiness in possession.
It's
right
odd because
through.
You had your full team out apart from Van de Ven. It was a strong side.
Who is a big miss?
And strong bench. Yeah,
yeah. But the sloppiness in possession throughout the team. Son was giving the ball away a lot. Maddison has not really been the same plan as you said. If you can, and the midfield. I mean, the second goal long before the second goal and our little WhatsApp group, the guys who are going, I'm saying, get Bendoncourt on now. Basuma was having a mare. I couldn't believe it took him to 66.
And Sarr's passing was under par as well, to be fair.
So it was just, it seemed the whole team were just sloppy. And as you said, Fulham did such a good job to exploit the gaps when they gave the ball up, when they turned the ball over. You can always get behind Tottenham's fullbacks because of the way they play, especially Porro. And they knew that and they exploited that well.
You can, but you have to be determined to do it and have the courage to, as I say, either throw the man or the ball in there, sometimes to waste the possession, but to keep Spurs always having to keep play out and out and out. And as you say, when their midfield is misfiring, they couldn't get out their own half half the time.
Yeah. The South Korean fan club were very unhappy with it. They said it was the worst performance since the 60s.
Yeah, they weren't happy. They were going back. They were talking about Barry Daines. Quite a lot of them just talking about Keith Osgood at centre-half. They were getting very upset about
it. It's interesting you mentioned the South Korea, though, because sometimes we forget when we see Son doing what he does and smiling, just what a gigantic star he is in Asia. I happen, because of friends in the publishing industry, I've just this morning been sent the cover of next month's Harper's Bazaar Korea. Son's on the front of it, and if you said that is the number one star in Hollywood, you would. The styling is off the scale. He's wearing a black suit and a pair of shoes that I imagine cost $2,000.
Right.
And they're treating him like he's a Hollywood star. Okay. We only ever see him in those tracksuits, laughing and joking, don't we? It's amazing.
He wasn't wearing those shoes.
He was a pair of black slip-ons.
That would explain quite a lot.
With buckles, lovely buckles on the side.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was a great defence.
Tim Vickery would have approved.
he would. It was a great defence of the fans that aren't from Spurs, from London, by Postecoglou, I thought. Yeah.
That was his high point of his week, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I really admire about him. If journalists ask him a question, if it's daft, he'll put them down. And if it's interesting, and that was meant to be a trap, you know, that was meant to be something that he couldn't answer. Mm. And I thought he answered it beautifully.
Yeah.
The looking down thing, I've noticed that when he greets the opposing manager, he looks him straight in the eye.
It's journalists. He doesn't look in the
maybe
eye.
Maybe it's the journalists or the
If he goes to the Jerry Francis School of post-match interviews, don't make eye contact with them. They can see inside your soul. He thinks they can...
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
To the longest delay, I believe, ever in this country so far in the Premier League for a VAR decision. I think it was 2 hours and 20 minutes. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. But
it's 5 minutes and 37 seconds.
It certainly
seconds.
Would have felt like if you were in the London Stadium waiting for it. There what is a, nothing what a, worse.
What a disgraceful way to treat the paying customers.
Yeah.
Whatever about the result, whatever about the rightness or wrongness of the decision, what a way to treat people who paid 50 quid a pop to watch a football
yeah,
match.
I agree.
To leave them sat there in a stadium, half ecstatic, half doubtful, with no information coming their way whatsoever. Quite apart from the fact that I saw the handball on the television. It was on the TV over here.
Yeah.
I saw the handball. Why did it take them that long? What were they looking for?
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane. Now, other commentators said they were trying to prove there had been another handball in the move earlier on.
Well, that isn't one enough?
Yeah. What difference does it make? It's not basketball. What there's no travelling. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
You could talk to Dale, and I read Dale religiously.
Mm.
I do it in Gregorian chant. He does a brilliant analysis, and sometimes I think over defence of the VAR officials. But if I had Howard Webb in the studio, I was only allowed to say one thing to him. I'd say, Howard, you've been in the game now all your adult life.
Mm.
You and your people are ruining the game. So what are you going to, never mind about the decisions, you are ruining the game. What are you going to do about that? Personally, I think you should be campaigning to have it stopped, because otherwise the game that we've loved is going to be... Who left that stadium feeling satisfied? Nobody.
Yeah. No, they hide behind clear and obvious when the decisions, when they want to.
Yes.
But when it's not clear and obvious and they take 5 minutes and 37, they come up with a decision. Peter Walton, who I don't always agree with, thinks, you know, if you can't decide like that, if it takes that
go
long,
with
you've
got to
go with
then.
The on-field yeah. decision.
I'm not, to. I'm not.
It doesn't
I'm
matter not. What's said afterwards. It doesn't matter if they found another angle later that proved it was handball or whatever. If you can't do it in 2 minutes, I'd say 2 minutes.
I'm not keen on clocks and time limits. I mean, we'll talk to Dale about this later on. It's not a countdown. You can't have... quick, we've only got 30 seconds to make a decision.
But 2 minutes is long enough. It's long enough to decide.
If you have a... If you say 2 minutes and it's a countdown clock and your team gets sawn off in another 10 seconds...
But if it's the rules for everybody, it's the rules for
everybody. But, Paul, if you don't have the clock... That 5 minutes and 47 yeah. seconds, and another game is going to come 7 minutes and 47 sure. seconds.
It's either that or you do what they do
the
in cricket.
The Chick King will be closed before the game is over at Spurs.
You do what you do in cricket, which is that when you're sitting in the stadium,
yeah.
at Lords or wherever they are, you can hear them discussing
it. Well, exactly. That's what it should be.
That's what
you
it
should
needs
be
to.
Part of
if
the
you're gonna, if you're going to insist on taking it to the nth yeah. degree, then
I'll call
at least
I'll
involve
it.
The fans well, in the stadium.
Well, I'll call
otherwise
it theatre in speech marks, but I've been saying. Throughout, if you're going to do this, if you're going to make this part of the game, the fans have to hear every bit of the conversation
absolutely.
Going on.
Otherwise,
so
it just
it
appears like Freemasonry, doesn't
absolutely.
It? You know something's going on, but yeah. you have no access to it.
Just very quickly on the game, because we've got two more to look at. I think I might have had a couple of quid on one, or were I a gambling man? It just felt like a game. Two teams who played Thursday. It felt like a draw
absolutely.
This game before kickoff.
Absolutely.
Didn't it,
really? Yeah. We saw a lot of this. Again, we were discussing it last night on Trans-Europe Express. A lot of teams were involved in Thursday games across all the leagues in Europe had slightly eye-catching results. And by eye-catching, I mean boring.
Yes.
Because they were exhausted. Yeah.
Now, we're going to move on to Luton Town 1, Nottingham Forest 1. We believe the news on Forest and any points deduction, should it happen, is imminent. So we will bring that to you as soon as
thanks,
we get
Paul.
It.
Thanks, Paul. I've already done the running order for tonight's kickoff. So thanks, Paul.
Just rip it up in front of our faces, yeah. Delhi. Rip it yep. up. Because yep.
This is the sound you're going to hear in about 20 minutes.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. The knock-on effect of this for a lot of teams down there could be pretty seismic. I mean, there will be an appeal. It'll have to be dealt with quite quickly. I'm sure they will appeal. Let's look at the game first. And you know, it's a bit funny week for Luton, doing what they did at Palace last week, popping up with an equaliser, then being sort of the Bournemouth game at the weekend, picking themselves up. And again, going to the last, people have been saying for months now, of all the teams down, they got more about them than most of those that came up. And they kind of tend to prove it generally most weeks, don't they?
Look, they will, whatever happens this season, they will be able to look themselves in the collective shaving mirror and said, we gave that a proper go. And against expectations, they're doing as well as they could possibly be expected. Who expected them to do any better than this? Nobody. But all of their fans, the fans know it, and we can see it as well. The team is putting absolutely everything into the game. They may not have enough to beat most of these teams. That's where they are in the pecking order. but they are using every ounce of what they do have to try and achieve something brilliant.
No, that's true. Another trend is long shots. A lot of people, because of goalkeepers are in such advanced positions, we see it more and more now. Well, David Beckham and Pelé against Ivo Victor in were outliers.
Outrageous from Murillo, though.
But, you know,
well done with Ivo Victor. Oh, well done for producing that.
Completely out of my left ear. Mm. But, yeah, a lot of players are trying it. We're seeing it. We saw it with Ezra the other week. We see it on a regular basis because keepers are so advanced.
Totally tried it, didn't
they? Yeah, so they are sweet. The keepers, it's worth a crack, isn't it?
We'd have to get a goalkeeping expert in, but their starting position used to be on the penalty spot, and now it's just outside the penalty area.
Yes,
if your team are attacking, and that's a lot of yards to make up if somebody decides to try and belt it over your head.
Yeah.
Of course, it could also be that since goalkeepers now spend so much time obviously training, playing square passes, that they're just not as good as catching the ball. People think, I'll have a go here because he's been picked for his ball skills. Let's see that.
He can't catch it.
It made a change for Luton to get a last minute equaliser. The other night I was listening to Bournemouth Luton. I told Adrian about this. It was brilliant. And at the end of the game, they were summing up the game, and Adrian at his fingertips just went through all the times that Luton have let leads slip and lost it. And it's loads. It's amazing, really. Their season could have been very different.
Forest, same old problem for them. Creating quite a lot of chances, not putting enough of them away. They've just not been clinical
Gibbs
enough.
White's great. You've got to think if he's going to get a move upwards.
I don't see Murillo there next season either, to be honest.
Their season depends on this tribunal now, doesn't it?
Well, let's finish them with Burnley 2, Brentford 1. And he obviously goes to Brentford, the other club he likes in that part of London. I was saying to him, they're in a bit of trouble here, aren't they? Three wins.
I was going to say, you're the local expert. Are they actually in trouble, Brentford?
You think the news is better because of injuries, players coming back?
Yeah, Mbeumo coming back is huge for Brentford. He gives them pace, he gives them counter-attack that they don't have without him. And I think they'll be all right. If they've got Sheffield United and Luton, I think if they win those two games, they'll be fine. You know, they weren't great on Saturday. There's no question about that. So I am slightly concerned.
Well, they weren't helped by Sergio Reguilón, were they?
Ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, ridiculous, as I said, he's fine. When somebody said, what's Reguilón like? He's fine.
A good result for Burnley. I mean, Detro Fofana made up for that. It was a ludicrous miss, wasn't it? But he scored a nice goal.
Yeah, I mean, from Burnley's point of view...
We've given plenty of jip to Burnley on this very programme. Yeah. It takes guts to keep going when you know you're probably doomed. So well done then for that, even against 10.
And Vincent Kompany made a big call. He brought Mirich back. The crowd seemed happy. I did feel for James Trafford. It's not surprised he's shot after the amount of shots he's had to save and the amount of work he's had to do and the amount of time he's been beaten.
The Premier League is one thing I can say this to a fear of contradiction. Look at the lad at Leeds last year. Even a good young goalkeeper cannot learn the job on the job in the Premier League. It's too much pressure.
No. Okay. Well, he made some big saves as well and justified that. And ultimately, he probably won't make the biggest difference to Burnley at the end of the season. But I'm sure for their fans at Turf Moor, lovely to see them win for a change. Danny, the music means, of course, the Oscars mean we're being cleared from the stage along with Martin Scorsese and the gang. But you are back tonight. If you want another dollop of Danny with Danny Murphy. And
No, I think it's Scott Minto. Danny won't come on because Liverpool lost.
Oh, okay. He's cried off. So Scott Minto
cried.
Yeah, literally. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. In the meantime, Andy, is there anything you want to discuss with the class?
Yes, the Sun did one of their pieces on Saturday where they go and look at England's base for the European Championship. It's always a good, worthwhile thing to do. But they, for some reason, decided to send their mascot, Harry Maine.
Yes, they did.
I can't stand Harry Maine.
You're not a fan of Harry Maine? It's a bloke in a lion. Well, I mean, it's not a real lion. It's a bloke in a lion's costume.
It says, "Are Harry named after the goal-getting England captain?" No, really.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
That's right.
And
he went there and he's...
He took a sauna, which I was quite... I hope it was turned up to maximum.
he had a little sit round the pool. He tried a pint of German lager in one of the hotel bars. Quite a long-suffering member of the staff of the hotel over in Germany, looking on. Yeah, it's at the Weimarer Land Golf Resort and Spa. That's right. It looks like
a lovely... back with a copy of his favourite newspaper.
Yes, of course. And he had a sauna. He turned up with... He's got quite a little nice little bag that he turned up with.
You get stories in the national newspaper and you do think to yourself, how on earth has this got into a daily national paper?
Yes.
Litter pickers found a 1999 Walker's crisp packet with a cartoon image of Gary Lineker on it in Whitney in Gloucester.
It wasn't on the cover, was it?
So what? Yeah, front page.
I'd quite like you to do the "and finally," so just underpin the finance, the "and finally" stories, and just say things like "and so what," "what's the point," etc.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Anything else?
What else have we got here? Oh, for goodness sake, says Sharon to the writing to the Star.
Oh, goodness me.
Here we go yet again. Another Saturday evening's TV ruined by poxy football. Oh, can't the BBC put that on BBC Two? I am fuming. Well, Sharon, can't you just switch the channel?
Yeah.
You've got another about 500 channels to choose from. What are you worried about?
You shouldn't be struggling, should you?
Not really.
We're going to be chatting to our European correspondent, Andy Brassel, a little bit later on. Harry Kane is going to link up the England squad, isn't he, despite getting injured at the weekend?
Not Harry Maine.
No, not Harry Maine. I think he may pop along. So.
Harry Kane, named after the Suns mascot, Harry Maine.
David Wheater. Remember David Wheater used to play for
I
the
do
Borough?
Remember him,
Big
yeah.
David Wheater,
yeah,
Bolton.
Very much so, yeah.
I'll tell you what, we might be playing guess. We'll ask the listeners if they haven't read the papers. Guess what David Wheater's hobby is. There we are. What a competition that is. We weren't expecting that this afternoon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Omid Djalali returns to your screens on ITV with Winning Combination.
It was good. I remember it was fun.
His quiz show. He joins us now. Talk a bit of Chelsea, Ipswich and more. Good afternoon, Omid.
Good afternoon, boys. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I'm back on your screens.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes. Hurry up. I'm going to watch myself.
Of course you are. So I said we had to get you in before 3 o'clock. This is the second series, isn't it?
I think they're repeating the second series. I think what happened was Potato, the people who make Chase, they said, we want a new one from you. And they said, well, we gave you a new one. And the new person said, well, what was that? It goes, Winning Combination. So there's a new person. Oh, just because this is great. He goes, we'll repeat it and see what it's like. And if the show was actually officially cancelled, but it may come back. You never know with quiz shows.
Oh.
So please say something on social media if you like it. If you like it, send me a tweet or something.
Yeah, well, look at, they were going to cancel Not Going Out.
It's for
people. He had about another 14 series, didn't
bored
it?
Yeah. People, students bunking off and unemployed, you've mentioned amongst them.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's mostly people in care homes were wheeled out. They watch it. They're wheeled back in their rooms again.
You look like you enjoyed it and were quite prepared to subvert it a little bit, as much as you ever can, because people like the quiz, but you can have a little bit of fun around it, I'm sure.
I think that was the whole idea. For the first series, what they did, we did lots of jokes on ITV for some reason. They took out all the jokes. Then the head of ITV said, well, hang on. We thought this was fun. Why have you taken all the jokes out? Because, well, people don't want that for quiz. He goes, no, put the jokes back in. So we did a second series and just pepper it. It's just basically to keep me engaged, really, just to keep people laughing. And it was done with no studio audience. So you're just making the 9 contestants laugh. So, and sometimes they never did. So you do a joke and there'd be nothing. Yeah. And they put it out like that as well.
Thanks.
Because this guy's rubbish.
Mm. And how many of those would you do in a day? Because that's the way it
three.
Tends to be. Three a day.
Three a day. Okay. Oh, God, yeah. It was fun. But we're not here to talk about it. But it's on. It's repeated. So if you're a student bunking off or in an old people's home, just watch it.
3 p.m. this afternoon on ITV. That's right, Winning Combination. Now, maybe we should start. You're still getting down to Ipswich to watch games. Maybe you're a bit of a good luck charm from this season.
Yes, they're doing well. We're just literally 1 point off Leeds right now. There was a little bit of a dip, and Ipswich are coming back. And now Leicester have had a dip. Mm. That was a good game, wasn't it? Chelsea beat them in the quarterfinal.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what. A lot of Chelsea fans watched Ian Wright do the draw, just thought, oh, God, Man City.
Yeah.
But I think Chelsea beat them. I really do, because we forget Chelsea played Man City in the semi-final in 2021 and beat them at a Wembley where there was hardly anyone there. Mm. But it was, I think Chelsea are looking good now. I mean, that goal by De Sassi was just so funny. Because at halftime, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank did say, there's never been a game where Chelsea are comfortable. So what are you talking about? We're going to walk this. And then De Sassi scores an own goal from 35 yards.
But it's interesting because they've played City twice this season. Mm. The first game was a wonderful game.
Brilliant 4-4.
Match, yeah, great game.
Second game was 1-1. City missed a lot of chances, but Chelsea could have won the game. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting...
And then the Champions League as a distraction amidst all this,
yeah,
won't they?
They're going to be favourites and the league, but we'll see how it goes.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I'm excited, yeah. But really, at the end of the day, this whole thing of people being at home. So I do go out to games, but this season I couldn't go. I've not been able to get down to Stamford Bridge. I've been watching lots of games at home, which is why I'm doing this this live stream. It's very few comedians have done this, I have to say. There's this thing about the gatekeepers, like you either got to have a Netflix deal or you got to be on HBO or something. And I just thought, you know what? I'm sick and tired of people telling me, you know, can you cut this bit before we do that? I'm doing an exclusive global stream for the next 4 days. From the 20th of, it's Iranian New Year on the 20th of March. For the next four days after that, I've put it on this amazing platform called Drift, which they put Radiohead on there, Andrea Botticelli. And in their wisdom, they said, would you like to do a global stream of your show? Because they saw the show and they said, this is brilliant. Would you like to stream it? And I thought, well, it's a global stream. There's only a very few comedians do it. And I thought, let's just do it. And it's very cheap. We're raising money for refugees in Gaza through Choose Love, which is this wonderful charity that is very anti-war. Because the idea is you can't really, you know, you can't really wash blood, you know, with blood, you know. So it's an anti-war charity that are helping out refugees around the world, but they're focusing on Gaza right now, and it was a way to raise money for them. So if you liked, although when I saw the number of tickets sold, where I often joke is that we've sold enough DNA to make a whole person bought a ticket. But now I can see some people can't even be bothered to not leave their front room and watch it at home. So but there is a lot of people are downloading it. So starting on the 20th of go to my on my Twitter, on the, you know, my bio, on my Twitter and my Instagram, you get the live link there, and it's a great way to spend an hour watching comedy.
So you can watch it live on Wednesday, 8 o'clock, or after that, you can just watch it on demand.
You can watch it on demand, yeah, for 4 days, then it's gone. But it's a great way. It's a great way of comedians having a bit of, you know, control over their work and not letting people tell you cut this bit, cut that bit. You've got autonomy over your own work, and it's a great way. Great way to watch. I've done it. I've watched other live streams from mostly American comedians do it. It's a great way.
Yeah.
It's a great way to keep up with the shows that you've missed. And then I'm going on tour in October, and come and see the new show, which is called Namaste. So it'll be, it's a great way to keep control over your own work.
And have you come out of retirement playing-wise? We spoke to you one day where you said you decided you were going to hang the boots up. Have you been turning out now and again, a bit of five-a-side? Or?
It's a bit of five-a-side, yeah, just now and again. I shouldn't really, because I'm still grossly overweight, and I had a hip replacement a few years ago. But I find that, you know, one of our lads passed away. We used to play on a Sunday, and then and we said, well, someone made a video of us playing football a few years ago. So, oh, I'd love to see that. I bet you'll see my skills. And they had 2 minutes of it, and literally, you just see me walking up and down. There's about five kids who are under 30 running around, and there's about eight of us just walking about. And it's slower than walking football. It's how shocking it is. And literally, in the whole 2 minutes, I'm just staring at the game, walking up and down on the left wing, and then the ball comes over, and I kick it out for no reason. It's really embarrassing.
Sometimes you shouldn't watch that footage back.
No, you're right.
Watch it back.
Yeah.
You used a brilliant clip to illustrate the fact that you'll be doing this gig this week. From 20 years ago, the old dance routine thing is still very, funny, that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what? I'd never watched the Live at the Apollo, and just the sheer energy of the disco dance routine that is so funny. And people saying, is this the show? I can get it on YouTube. I said, no, I'm just promoting it for the new show. But it really is a remarkable piece of how when you're younger, you just believe in something. I mean, I would never do anything like that again, but you've got to be a little bit mentally ill. I look mad. I'm about 100 pounds overweight, and I've cut the bits where I'm walking back to the microphone out of breath. You see me walking back to the mic because I've cut them. I'm going, now the next bit, people who dance like this. It's so funny, but so crazy. So hopefully you'll see me do proper comedy, but that's an example of how I was 20 years ago.
Go and check out Omid 9 on Twitter. You can find it there. If you just put Omid Jalili into Google, the details come up of that special gig this Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you, Omid. All the best.
Thanks, mate. Take care. Bye.
There's some agility there. Comedian Ipswich Chelsea and Ipswich fan. He's more Chelsea than Ipswich, but he lives down there, and he goes, I mean, Leeds, what Leeds have done. I mean, a lot of people have shown that graphic of where they were at Christmas. I mean, there were 17 points off of Leicester at Christmas.
Yeah, they're a good team. I was impressed with them against Chelsea. They were lucky to lose that game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show as it all unfolded. I'm back with Charlie
tomorrow. Andy, you'll be back on Wednesday. Back on Thursday because we've got the TalkSport Trophy. Yes. We're going to be live presenting the TalkSport Trophy on Thursday. So a bit of a rejig this week. But do join myself and Charlie tomorrow for one. If not, the podcast will be available as always around 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.